Bezras Hashem, today we begin Daf La Megillah Maseches Brachos, the 32nd Daf in Shas. Yesterday Daf, as well as La Megillah Med Aleph, is long. We pick up with Lamed Beis, Amed Beis, beautiful Agadot we did yesterday. And now we go back primarily to the concept of Maseches Brachos. And that is that the Gemara, 12 lines from the bottom, talking about Chassidim Arishonim, go back to the Mishnah, first Mishnah on Lamed Amid Beis in the fifth parak, and that is that the Mishnah says Chassidim Arishonim Hayoshon Shoa Achas Umispalulim. Chassidim Arishonim would prepare an hour before their tefillah. Asks the Gemara Minoani Mili, how do we know what is the source of this idea of preparing beforehand? Amar Bishua ben Lakish, Amar Kra, Ashrei Yoshve Vesecha. Praise of those who sit in your house. In other words, they sit and they prepare. Rashi explains, V'hodar Yahalalucha. And afterwards, they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ashrei Yoshve Vesecha. And then, it says, Yahalalucha Sela. So first, they're supposed to sit and prepare. Barmer Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Mispal Tzarech Lishos Shoa Achas, Achar Tfilasar. Yeshua ben Levi says also he's supposed to wait an hour afterwards. Shenemar, Ach Tzadikim Yozu Lishimcha, Yashvu Yesharim Es Panecha. After describing the praising, then it says, Yashvu, then they sit. Tani Nami, Hachem Mispal Tzarech Shisha Shoa Achas Kodin Tfilasar. A person that davens needs to wait an hour beforehand. Shoa Achar Tfilasar. And then it says, Od Yaluch Hasela. Achar Tfilas Menayim Dechsev, Ach Tzadikim Yod Noshimcha, Yashvu Yesharim Et Panecha, a repeat of the previous Mekoros. Tan Rabban, Chassidim Rishonim, Hayishon Shoa Achas, Umispalin Shoa Achas, they would prepare for an hour, they would daven for an hour, V'choz Rishon Shoa Achas. Ask Gemara, amazing question. V'chi me'asher, me'achar sheshoen tishashos ba'yom b'tfilah. Wait a second, you make a cheshbon, so these fellows, these chassidim, are spending 9 hours in davening. Torasan heyach mishtameres. How is their Torah going to be guarded, that they're not going to forget? U'melachton heyach nasis. About working for a living. Ela mitoch shechassidim eim. If they're real chassidim, Torasa mishtameres, umalachta misbareches. Their Torah is watched, and their malacha is blessed. In other words, there still is another 15 hours in the day. And in that 15 hours, they could do the necessary work, the small amount of work necessary to bless that work that should be successful as if they had worked a lot longer. And their learning, a large part of the learning is reviewing so you don't forget. That's not necessary because they have siyata d'shmaya, help from heaven from their davening. We learn in the Mishnah, afilu ha-melech shol b'shloimai lo yishevenu. If a king asks you, says hello, shalom aleichem, in the middle of davening, you shouldn't respond. Amar Rav Yosef lo yishenu el malchei Yisrael. This only applies to Jewish kings. Aval malchei akum poisin. But to Gentile kings, you should respond. Ask the Gemara, Meisiv, I'll ask you a question. Mispal v'rah on a Kinegdo, if you're davening and you see, and that literally means someone who forces, in other words, someone who was aggressive with Jews that would force them to do things and murder them if not. Ra'anas Balkinegdo, he sees someone who has the potential to murder. Ra'karom Balkinegdo, or he sees a wagon hurtling towards him, or coming towards him. Lo ye mafsik el makaster. He should shorten up his tefillah, and that way it counts. So what do you see? You shorten your tefillah, but you're not posek like our Mishnah said. And says the Gemara, Lopli, Hadev Shulakatzer, where it's possible to be Mekatzer, as the Bais suggested, that's what you should do. In our Mishnah, it was impossible to be abridged version. Tan Rabbona, 6 lines from the bottom, 5 lines from the bottom, middle line, Mais B'chosed Echot, Shoy Mispalel, there was a chassid that was davening along the way. And an officer came and said hello to him. And he didn't respond. He waited for the chassid to finish. The officer waited for him. Amalei, Reka, empty one. You chassid think you're full, you're empty. V'alo kasu b'toratzchem, raki shamer l'chol shmar nafshecham od. The Torah warns us, v'siv in parashas v'aschanon, again, v'nishmatim ol nafshecham. Kishan satil chasham, lama lo satil shalom. Ima yisichot echroshcha b'sayif, mi ayatoveh azdem chamiyadi. If I had cut off your head, who would have demanded your blood from me? In other words, I could have cut off your head, you were putting yourself in danger. Give me some time until I am advised, I appease you with words. If you, my dear officer, were standing in front of a king, and your friend came and said hello to you, Hayisa Maxilo? Amalei laughed. The officer said, no, I would not have responded to him. It's a chutzpah. Amalei, if him Hayisa Maxilo, and if you would have said hello, what would the king have done to you? Amalei, you chalzchem es roshi b'sani? It would have cut off my head. Says the chaz, you're standing in front of a physical king. Pretty soon there's going to be ants eating the corpse of this king. I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I should respond to you. The officer was appeased, and he let the chassid go back to his house in peace. There is a basic pshat problem in our Gemara that the poskim, that the Taz actually attempts to solve, and that is, what was the chassid's response? The officer argued to him, well, it says in Parshas Veschanim, "Mishmartim al d'nafsho seichem." So what right did he have to put his life in danger because he wanted to continue tefillah? So the Taz, where he develops that there are many cases in halacha where one is allowed to interrupt even though one's life is not in danger, in Simin Samach Vav, Sif Katan Aleph, where he gives examples of being permissible to interrupt Mipnei Hayira, even if he's not afraid that he's actually going to be killed. So there, the Taz says that even if you will be drawn into court and you will be challenged and your life would be made very difficult by the Gentile king, so then in such a case, you're also supposed to interrupt as well. It's not only for a fear of Misa, because then we already have the rule that that better violate than give up your life, except for the major three. Says the Taz that's exactly what was going on over here. When the chassid says, wait until I mefayis you bedvarim, so the chassid was telling him, if I ask you to wait for a few minutes not to kill me, will you not kill me? You listen to my argument. That's exactly what the chassid was saying. It wasn't life or death, mamish. You're willing to listen. So then the chassid was confident that if you explained to him the beauty of what tefillah is about, speaking to the melech, malchei amlochim, in contrast to speaking to a melech, basar adam, so then the officer would certainly understand, as the chassid's confidence proved to be correct, and that's exactly the truth of v'nishmartim lo nafsho seichem, that we're talking about, as the Taz develops in many other cases, where the danger is, you're going to be called in and asked to defend yourself by someone who is powerful. So for that, the chassid said, will you be willing to listen to me? He said, yes, I'll be willing to listen to you. So it's no longer a case of where it's just regular sakana, he's automatically going to stab him. If that's so, then the chassid has room for his argument. The beauty of the Taz is then there's no extra word in the Gemara at all. That when he says, hamten li'achav fe'yisecha b'dvarim, that when he was telling him was, that just like you would wait, so then so too in the end, this wasn't the classic case of bikuach. Mishnah had told us something startling that we needed to explain when we read the Mishnah. We continue on, 8 lines on top of Lama Gimlam and Aleph. Afilu nachush korach ala kovoy lo yafsik. Even if there's a snake wrapped around his ankle, he shouldn't interrupt. In order to understand the Mishnah, you need to do these lines of the Gemara, which we mentioned when we were in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Sheshes, lo yishanu el nafash. That's only talking about a snake that's not dangerous. Amal Akrav, if we're talking about a serpent, posek, then, of course, going to need to interrupt. Mesive asks Gemara the following question. Nafalu v'arayos, if a husband was thrown into a lion's den, eme eden alav shemeh. If Adam saw him thrown into a lion's den, doesn't mean he's dead. If he was thrown into a pit that's full of serpents, so then, in such a case, then we can testify that he was killed. What do we see from this Mishnah? We see that both nechashim, both snakes and serpents, kill. So why do we assume in our Mishnah that a snake doesn't? And the Gemara, Shani Hasan Dagavit Samazki. Snakes do have the potential to kill, but usually they only kill when they've been attacked. So when he's thrown on top of them, then they're going to attack. However, if he hasn't been thrown on top of the snake is wrapped around him, there isn't a rule to stop one's tefillah because the snakes are not dangerous. Amar Rav Yitzchak Rosh Varim Poisek. If he sees oxen coming into his direction, then he has to stop. They are dangerous. The Tan Rav Oshia, Marchikim Mishar Tam, Chamishim Amah. You need to distance yourself from a shor that hasn't gored already 3 times in its life, 50 Amos. Mishar Muad Kimlo Enav. And a shor that has gored more than 3 times, then even its full distance of vision, as far as its eye can see. Tan Mishmei D'Ramer, Reish Tua. If the head of the ox, Bitkula, seems to be inside of its food, the dekel, a basket of food, Salikli Igra, climb up to the roof. You're still not safe. The Shadi Dargami do say, and kick the ladder away. Until you do that, even if it looks like the animal is eating, you're still not safe. The bull is eating, you're still not safe. Amar Shmuel, Hani Mila Bishar Shachar, that only applies to black bulls. Will be Yom Nisan and the days of Nisan, if Nesha Satan, miraculously Karnov, so that's the sign that Satan dances between his horns. Tan Rabban, Maitzim, Echad, Shoyo, Orud. Rashi explains that Orud is an animal that is a cross from a snake and a turtle. One of its parents is a snake, the other a turtle. It's not clear what species this is. Sifta Gemara points out that the background of this is the Gemara, where Rashi got this from, is the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. There was a great professor by the name of Felix who researched many of the botany and the biology of things of the Talmud. One could look there if one is interested in learning these details. So there was an Arud Vayimazik Esabriyot, and it was damaging people. Bava odia lo lo Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. They went and they informed Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Amar lahem, he said to him, Heru li es choro. Show me his hole, where he's living, where he's hanging out. Heru es choro. They showed him the hole. Nasan akavo al pi achor. And Rabbi Chanina did something striking. He put his heel by the opening of the hole, and you guessed it. The snake bit Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, but tables turned. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa killed the snake. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa took this arud on his shoulders, took the base medrash. Amlamru bini, ein arud meimis, el achet meimis. It's not the arud that's killing. Era that killed. Woe is the person, the average person that bumps into an Arud, but woe is the Arud that bumps into Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. The Mishnah continues a new Mishnah on Lami Gimel Aleph, Maskirin Guras Hagshamin Bitchias Hamesim. One mentions Mashiva Ruach Umarid Agoshem in the Bracha of Tchias HaMesim, V'she'ilah B'Berchas HaShanim, and one asks the same talumata levracha in the bracha baruch aleinu. Vahavdala bechanin adas. These are, of course, all of our customs. Rabbi Akiva Eimer bracha b'fnei atzma. Havdala is said as a bracha by itself. Rabbi Eliezer Eimer behodarav. Rabbi Eliezer says that it is said, Havdala is said in hodah. Says the Gemara, when it comes to Gvuras Geshamim, it's interesting that we have both a mentioning, notice the Lashon Mishnah, Mazkirin, we mention, and then we have a Bakasha, She'ela, in Berchas Hashanim. Says the Gemara, Mazkirin Gvuras Geshamim, my time. Why do we mention specifically Gvuras Geshamim? We don't mention Chonein Das in the second bracha. Why is it specifically when it comes to rain? Amar Rav Yosef Mitoksha Shkula Kitchias HaMesim. Since the miracle of rain is equal to that of Tchias HaMesim, which is the bracha, Mechayim Mesim, V'fichach Kavu B'Tchias HaMesim. That's why it was put there. V'shalab Berchas Hashanim Ma'itayma. And why do we then repeat and ask in Berchas Hashanim? I'm Rav Yosef, Mitarchi Parnasa. Since it is related to Parnasa, the Parnasa farmers here in Eretz Yisrael is very much dependent on the rain. V'fichach Kavu B'Berchas Parnasa. That's why it was put in the bracha of Parnasa. Havdala b'chayin das my time. Why is Havdala put in chayin das? I'm Rabbi Yosef. Mitach shei chachma kavua bebirchas chachma. The ability to differentiate is a chachma. That's what we would call today critical analysis. Hence, it is put in the bracha of chachma chonein hadas. The Rambam and the Baal HaTanya both discuss about the essence of the spiritual humanity, the uniqueness of man is its ability to discern, to think critically, and that is maybe why it is the first bracha. It is the most important distinguishing feature of our species, is the ability to think, and for us as Bnei Torah to think and comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and Havdalah is the essence of that, to distinguish between Kodesh and Chol. Rabbanan Amri Mitok Shu Chol, V'fichach Kavu B'Birchas Achol. The Rabbanan give a different explanation, since it is signifying that the week has begun, so it is put in the bracha of Chonein Adas, which is the bracha, which is a bracha specifically of the week. Says the Gemara, eight lines before they start getting really wide on Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yami, G'doyla Deya Shenasna B'Tchilas Bracha Shelchal. Das is great. It's something that's unique and special because it is given in the first bracha of the weekday, and that fits in beautifully to what we had mentioned earlier from the Baal HaTanya and the Rambam. V'amar Rabbi Yami G'dayla Deya Shenasnu Bein Shtei Oisiyos. Das was given between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Kikel Deyos Shem. V'chol mi she'ein bo Deya Oso L'rachim Ov. And someone who doesn't have Das, it's prohibited to have mercy on him. Shenemar ki lo am binos hu. You should not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he doesn't have Rachmanis on a nation that doesn't think. It's interesting that in Yiddish there's also expression, and that is Ashoite is erger funanar. A fool is the worst type of person. You can't tap into any humanity if someone is a fool. Just like we speak about Das being given between two Shemos of Hashem, so too, when it comes to the Migdash, it's also placed between the names of Hashem. So the Migdash is also put between the Shemos Hashem, surrounding the Shem Hashem. Surrounding Migdash is the Shem Hashem, and surrounding Das is the Shem Hashem. This fits beautifully with the Nefesh HaChaim that talks about in Shar Aleph that the Migdash being the link between the physical world and the spiritual world. And we mentioned that the source of the distinction between man and animal, the source of his spirituality, is the Chachma, the Baal HaTanya says. So here, the Yisod of Migdash and the Yisod of Das are the same thing, one emphasized by the Tanya and the other by the Nefesh HaChaim. Of course, both agree with the other ones Yesod. V'amar Rav Elazar, kol adam sheyesh bo Deya ki'ilu nivne beis hamigdash biyamav. Someone who has das, it's as if he built the beis hamigdash in his days. Beautiful, because according to what we said, das is the ability to link the upper worlds with the lower worlds. The beis hamigdash is the link between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Deya nasna ben shtei osios, migdash nasna ben shtei osios. Das was given between the two Shemos Hashem, which is the linking of two worlds, and so Tumgash was given between the names of Hashem. Says the Gemara in the first wide line, Maskefla Rav Acha Karchina. Rav Acha of Karchina asked the following question, Elamayata Gola Nekama Shenasna Ben Shtei Osios. Nekama, the vengeance, was also described between two Shemos Hashem. Shneamar Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia Amalei In. Bemilsa Mia Gdolahi. In certain instances, even jealousy is great. Like Pinchas, that was Nikmas Hashem. V'hainu d'amaru l'shnei nikamas halal lama achas l'tov v'achas l'ra. Sometimes when the Torah describes nikama, it's not only a negative thing. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Where is it said twice? Achas l'ra v'achas l'tov. D'chsiv hofia meharparan l'ra. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Zayis HaBracha, we have the description before Kapolas HaTorah of Hofia Mehar Paron. Rashi explains that the Lashon of Hofia means Gala V'Hifkir Kishaloi Kiblu Es HaTorah. Hofia means to make ownerless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made ownerless the possessions of the Gentile because they refused to keep, to accept his Torah. So that was Latov. Dichsiv. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. There, we see the Kel Nekamos Hofia of being the Kamos of being Mafkir of Hofia Marpon. So there are times that it is good, that the Nekama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, and that is to reward those who deserve reward. The Gemara now analyzes the next part of the Mishnah, and that is the appropriate place for Havdalah, and actually teaches us the evolution of Havdalah the way we know it today. Five lines into the wide, Amar le Rav Shimon bar Abba le Rabbi Yochanan, Michti, Anshei HaKnesses HaGdolah Tiknu Lahem Yisrael Brachos Utfilos Kedushos Vavdalos. We know that there were takanos in terms of how to daven, Brachos, as well as Havdalos. Nechzi Hechi Tikun. Let's take a look how they were misacking. Amarle, so he responded, Rabbi Yochanan responded, B'tchila kavu b'tfila. Originally, Havdalah was instituted in the tefila. He'eshiru, when the Jews became wealthy and they had more wine, kavu ala kos, they instituted that it should be done on a kos. That would give it greater chashivus. Rashi adds, Kavu alakos v'oz nishtakla takonas az Ezra. And then the takana of Ezra, the original takana of Tfila, was forgotten, that it should be done in Tfila. And they were only doing it alakos. Chazru ve'honu, they became poor again, Kavu b'Tfila. Then they put it back in the Tfila. Ve'im omru hamavdil b'Tfila, tzarech shi'avdil alakos. And they instituted that in order not to uproot the takana of alakos, that despite the fact that you made Havdalah and Tefillah, you should also do it alakos. Itmar Nami, Rabbi Rav Yosef Tarmi Tavayu, Hamavdil b'Tefillah tzarech shi'avdil alakos. Just because you made Havdalah during davening, you still should do it alakos. Amaravu b'Tzvinan Ashmaitzin. And we could ask a question on it from our learning. Tov Elohizke Gvus Hashem Tchias HaMesim. If you make a mistake and you don't mention Mashav Ruach, Vishala Biberchas Hashanim, Machzirin also. Even if you ask Biberchas Hashanim, you have to repeat because it's Ma'ak even Ma'ashev Aruach. Vahavdala Bechon Adas, Ein Machzirin also. Nipnei Shiachal Omra Alakos. Because you're able to say it Alakos, you don't have to repeat. Explains Rashi that the Gemara's question is that seems like you have two options. That if you say it during davening, great. And you don't have to say it on the coast. And if you didn't say it in davening, you could also say it on the coast. So says the Gemara, no, that's not the correct reading of the Shmaitza. Lo tema b'pnei sheyochol omar al hakos. Not because he's able to say it on the coast. And therefore, if he missed it in davening, he doesn't have to repeat. Ela ema m'pnei sheomar al hakos. He has to say it al hakos. It's not that you have a choice which way to be mavdil. Itmar Nami, the Gemara continues 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabin Yamin ben Yefes, Bar Yefes, Shol Rabbi Yossi, Yes Rabbi Yochanan ben Sidon, Rabbi Yossi asked Rabbi Yochanan from Sidon, Va'amrila Rabbi Shim ben Yaakov de Minsur, Es Rabbi Yochanan, some has a different gear, Rabbi Shim ben Yaakov from Tzor, Rabbi Yochanan, Va'ano Shamis Hamavdil b'tfila tzarech she'avdil alakos. Someone who said havdol already in Shmon Esrei, does he still need to make havdol alakos? Olo v'amalei tzarech she'avdil alakos. One does need to make havdol alakos. The Gemara continues. Iboilu. Approximately 8 lines from the bottom. Amavdil alakos ma'u she'avdil b'tfila. Someone who has havdolah on the coast, what's halach in regards to saying havdolah in tefillah? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak kal v'chomer mitfila. We have a kal v'chomer from tefillah. Uma tefillah de'ikar takantahi. Just like when it comes to tefillah, that it's the primary takana. As we saw before, the original takana was instituted when it came to tefillah. Amri, nevertheless, we say amavdil b'tefillah, tzarech shiyom yavdil alakos, even though that was the secondary takana. Hamavdil alakos, t'laviker takantahi. Like all shekain, certainly, if someone made havdol on the coast, that doesn't exempt them from tefillah, because hamavdol al kos is not the ikar takana. Period. 7 lines from the bottom. Tani Rabbi Acha Aricha Kamei Rabbi Chinina. Hamavdol b'tefillah meshubach yosem mishem havdil al kos. It's greater to be mavdol b'tefillah than al kos. Vim hivdol bezu bezu yanuchu lo brachos al rosho. And if he makes havdol in both of them, then he should have blessings bestowed on his head. The Gemara wants to clarify this statement of Rabbi Acha in front of Rabbi Chanina. Hagufa kasha, says the Gemara 5 lines from the bottom. Amrit hamavdil b'tfila meshubach yoser mimishi avdil alakos. You just got through saying that mavdil b'tfila is greater alma tfilu chudasagi. That means, it seems to sound, that tfila is even better. V'hadar tani. And then afterwards we learned im hivdo bezu azu yinuchalo brachos al rosha v'kiv nechalei bechada ifter v'ave brachos sheinitzrucha. Why do we place blessings on his head? Here the Gemara asks a very salient question: is it not a brachos sheinitzrucha? V'amar Ravi temer Reish Lakish v'amar Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish tamin tavayu kol mevarach brachos sheinitzrucha oiver mishum loisisa. It's a profound iser. It's one of the Ten Commandments. If you say a bracha shein tzvicha, you're over on the yisalo sisa shem Hashem elokecha lashov. This is an important gemara. We can't get involved with all of the lamdos, but this is a very important gemara in terms of qualifying what exactly constitutes osisa shem Hashem elokecha lashov. The gemara here says that a bracha that is not necessary, even though your intention is sincere, this gemara seems to say that there's an issa d'oraisa of losisa. Just a shas note, when there is this discussion, to keep this in mind, that a bracha she'ena tzricha, even if the intention is sincere, seems to be an issur d'oraisa. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Says the Gemara, ela'ei mahachi. So we have a great, back to our Gemara, we have a great question. At the end of the day, why is it that you make havdol again al kos? It should be considered bracha she'ena tzricha, befrat, specifically, because we said that mavdol b'tfila is meshubach yoser. Ela emahachim hivdu bezu velo hivdu bezu yenuchalo brachos al rosho. That the Enochanami, he backs down from this and he says that if you do havdalah on one and not the other, then you don't have a bracha she'ena tzricha. Of course, us who do both, we need to contend with that question of why is havdalah today not a bracha she'ena tzricha. The Gemara continues on the last line. Boy minei Rav Chizda mer Rav Sheshes. Rav Chizda asked Rav Sheshes a shayla. Ta bezu u bezu. Rashi unfortunately does not explain the Gemara's shayla if he makes a mistake in this and in this, but the best place to see the pshat is in the Rush. The Rush explains that the shayla is, what happens if he ate? We know there's an iser to eat before Avdallah, the Gemara Arvei Pesachim says. What happens if he ate both before he made Havdallah b'tfila, as well as before he made Havdalah Bekos? Mahu, what should he do then? Amalei. So Rav Sheshes responded, Ta bezu bezu chozer l'rosh. He has to repeat both Shmona Esrei, as well as he has to say Havdalah on a kos. The Gemara continues on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Amalei Ravina l'rava hilchos amai. How do we paskin in regards to the original Shaila? And that is, if you mavdil b'tfila, do you have to make havdalah on the coast? Amalei ki kiddush. She says, just like Kiddush. Ma Kiddush Avagad and Mekadosh Betzilus and Mekadosh HaKol. So just like when it comes to Kiddush, even though you're Mekadosh and Davening, you make Kiddush on the coast. Af Havdol Anami, Af Agav, the Mavdil Betzilusa, Mavdil HaKosa. Even though you've already been Yotze the Mitzvah, you say it again in Havdalah. Gemara continues 5 lines from the top on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, quoting the final opinion in the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the bracha of Havdalah appears on Matzah Shabbos in Hodah, in the bracha of Hatov Shimcha Lecha Noeh Lehodah. This opinion, of course, of Rabbi Eliezer, we don't follow. However, the Gemara points out that there was a big discussion that there might be an instance when we actually follow Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. Rabbi Zeira have a rochiv chamra, have a kashakel va'azel Rabbi Chia bar Avin basrei. Rabbi Zeira was riding on a donkey, and Rabbi Chia bar Avin was riding after him. Amalei vadi damrisa mishmed Rabbi Yochan halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer biyomtiv shechaliyos acher Shabbos. Amalei in. Is it true that you said, says Rabbi Zeira to Rabbi Chia, that the halacha is, that Rabbi Yochanan had said, that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, that when we have Yom Tov that falls out after Shabbos, so Yom Tov is on Matzai Shabbos, on that Matzai Shabbos, L'chura, there is a Havdalah to say on Shabbos. So when do you say Havdalah in Shmona Esrei? So he says, in a Yom Tov Shechaliyos Achar Shabbos, then you would say it in Modim. Is it true that you said this to Rabbi Zeira? And Rabbi Zeira is setting up Rabbi Chia because he's going to disagree, not with the Psak, but the way he said it. Amalein, he said, yes, I said it. Halacha, Michlal de Pligi, responded Rabbi Zeira. You're saying that it's a halacha and that somebody disagrees? Says Rabbi Zeira, I disagree. I do not hold that anybody disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer in that case. Says the Gemara, Velo Pligi? Is there no one who disagrees? Va Pligi Rabbanan. But the Rabbanan disagree in our Mishnah with Rabbi Eliezer. What do you mean that no one disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer? We have the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, it says the Havdalah is mentioned, Bechone Nadat. So Gemara immediately qualifies. What did Rabbi Zeira mean? No, Eimar de Pligi Rabbanan. Rabbi Zeira's objection is the following. Maybe the Rabbanan disagree, Beshar Yimot Hashana, on the rest of Matzai Shabbosim. So then in such a case, they hold that there's no need to put in a Hodah. But on Matzai Shabbos, where you don't have Atachonim, Matzoi Shabbos, that falls, that's also a Yom Tov. So then in such a case, even the Rabbanan are going to agree. B'shai Yimot HaShana, B'Yom Tov Shechaliyos HaChar Shabbos, Mi Pligi? Explains the Gemara, no, I could defend the Lashon that Rabbi Chia used, Halacha, that there's a Machlokis and we pass Nek Rabbi Eliezer. V'apolig Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva, we had learned, said that it gets a Bracha Bifnei Atzma. So hence, Rabbi Chia is going to teach us that you don't have an atachonim, that's impossible. You also don't have a separate bracha, because we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, but halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, you do it in Hodah. Says the Gemara, do you need to teach us that it's a halacha? Continuing to explain Rabbi Zeira's objection. Atu kuala shana kula, Miavdina ka Rabbi Akiva, the Hashaneka Vinevit Kava say? Asks the Gemara, the whole year we don't follow Rabbi Akiva. Then now all of a sudden you should wake up and say you follow him? In other words, that's not a reason still to say halacha as Rabbi Zeira had objected. Says the Gemara, no. Kol Hashana Kula, my time of law of Dina Rabbi Akiva. The reason why the whole year we don't follow Rabbi Akiva, the Tamni Sri Tikkun, Shai Sri Lo Tikkun, because the Chachamim had instituted, we had already seen earlier in Perek Tfilas HaShachar, that there was a Cheshbon to the number of 18 brachos. The Gemara even says what the 18 brachos correspond to. So, that's That's why we tracked Rabbi Akiva. Take a look on Chav Chesam Ebeis. The Gemara has this whole fantastic cheshbon of 18 brachos, what it corresponds to. And the depth of that Gemara, I think only Mekubalim will understand. But clearly there's some deep reason involved with the number of 18, and not 19. So that's the reason we reject Rabbi Akiva. However, Matzai Shabbos, you don't have 18. Asks the Gemara, Hachanami, Shev Tikun, Timni Lo Tikun. We also there elaborated that their number 7 is profound when it comes to Shabbos, and not 8. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is not a relevant opinion lahalacha. Hence, we come back to Rebbe's Zera's objection. Why did you say halacha? You see how important it is a Rebbe to be absolutely precise. What a scary mussar for myself, who's not always precise. How important it is to be precise in order that the psak be entirely clear. So the Gemara says, no, Amalei, the Rebbe Chia responded, Lav halacha itmar. I never said halacha. Ela motin itmar. But I rather said motin. I would lean in the direction. What does it mean, motin? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi spells out what the difference between halacha and motin is. Halacha, man damar halacha, darshin la bepirkin. If a person holds that something is a halacha, so then you're doresh it in what Rashi describes as halacha being something that is said in public, berabim, Rashi explains, and motim being something that is said privately when someone comes to ask you a shaila. So he backs down. Rabbi Chia says he never meant to say that it is a hilchasa. He just meant to say motim, that we would be nota, we would say privately that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer. If you're missing a point in pshat, that is actually me, a simin, that you're learning well. Because previously, the Gemara had said that there's no one that is cholek. The Rabbanon don't disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. That was Rabbi Zeira's whole argument. And Rabbi Zeira seemed to have proven it effectively. 2 points for the Schattenstein Gemara in their footnotes, that they immediately point out that there are many asks, that even if you say mutton, at the end of the day, no one is disagreeing when it comes to Yom Tov that falls out to Matzai Shabbos. So whether it's halacha or whether it's mutton, it should not make a difference. Thankfully, the Hamasifta Gemara, which is actually one of my favorites, has a litany of achronim in the back. I think they should have pointed it out on the bottom, but at least in the back, they do raise this point. I will only make reference, and just amazing thing, this if we'd be learning Be'iyun, would require a half a shear, but the Gra changes one word in our Gemara, and in the newer editions of the Gra Meseches Brachos, which is known as the Imre Noam edition, the Gra is explained, and possibly the Gra himself wrote in other places, by changing that one word of Amar Le'in, 10 lines from the top, will answer the whole above-mentioned problem. In Daf Yomi, at least in a 40-minute shear, we're not able to discuss that. Ayin, Shum in the back of the Masifta, as well as the footnotes of the Schattenstein Gemara, they do an excellent job. The Gemara now is going to give us an example of the difference between halacha and matin. The Gemara is excited about this concept. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Omer Mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said in the name of Rabbeinu, that is a curious expression. The Masifta Gemara points out that the Gemara on Dav Lamed Amabez already had Rav Dimi also quoting Rabbeinu, and Rashi over there says Rabbeinu is not the way Rabbeinu is usually used as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, but rather Rabbi Avdimi's Rebbe being Rav. He used the expression of halacha, va'amri lo matin, and some use the expression of matin. Rabbi Yochan Amar moder. Rabbi Yochan used the expression that he was moder. Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar nirin. He used the expression of nirin. The difference between matin and nirin is that when it comes to nirin, it appears that the halach is not that way. Matin is if the person would ask you privately, you would tell him specifically what the halach is. Nirin, you would tell him there are two opinions, and I would be leaning towards that opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Take Reb Chiya bar Abba in your hand, the dayik v'gomer shmeitza mipuma demara. Shapir. Reb Chiya bar Abba learned very well, and he says precisely the way his Rebbe said, and therefore, if he said matin, so then that should be our approach over here. It should be matin, not to say it berabim, but to paskin privately this way. The Gemara gives another example of someone who is careful to quote his Rebbe precisely. Kirachva de Papadisa, as Rachva Papadisa, the Amar Rachva, Amar Rebbe Yehuda, when Rachva was quoting his Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, he said, Harabayis stav kafel haya. The Harabayis had a double porch. There were two porches that were designated for sitting in the Harabayis. These porches were an area that protected, that had a roof over it that protected from the rain, as well as a place to sit. Now, the way these porches were designed on the Harabayis, vayestav lefnim mistav. One porch was within the other porch. In other words, one was further in from the other. Rashi adds that they were also circular in nature. Now, the chiddush of what Rachva did was that Rachva set it over exactly the way he described the porch as a stav. The Lashon HaMishnah in Psachim and in Sukkah is, on Psachim, it's in Yud Aleph on the Beis, in Sukkah, Mem Beis on the Beis, is in Itztava. Itztava, Gabi Itztava, for those who recall the Mishnayos. That's the description of this area that was used as a sitting area and protection from rain. So the Rachva, when he quoted it precisely the way his Rebbe said it. Gemara now goes back to the topic of the Amoraim discussing what is the best thing to do on Matzoy Shabbos Yom Tov vis-a-vis Havdalah. Is it nearing Kerebi Eliezer to put in Odah, or is it Matin? Amar Rav Yosef Hanoloy Hayadana V'lo Hayadana. I'm not familiar with either of the suggestions of Nirin or Matin or Halacha to follow Rabbi Eliezer. Rather, I have a totally different tradition. Elma de Rav Shmuel Yadan Titkinula Marginisa Bebavel. They instituted a gem in Bavel, a beautiful solution to the problem. And that we're all familiar with. Vatodienu Hashem Lokenus Mishpatei Tzekecha Vatalam Denu Lasas Chukei Ritzenechav Tanchilenu. Here the gears is a little bit different than what we have today. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these beautiful times. Manei Sosan L'chagei Nedova Vatarishen Kedushas Shabbos V'Kavul Moed V'Chagigas HaRegel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these beautiful things. Ben Kedusha Shabbos L'Kedusha Yom Tov V'Vdalti, the friendship between Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'Asirei Ma'ashvim V'Sheisim Me'ei Masa Kiddashti V'Vdalti V'Kiddashti Asam Chesov V'Kedusha Secha. And then we go into V'Atidin Lo'inu Hashem L'Kenu B'Avo Mo'adim L'Simcha. Then we go into the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. This, of course, is a tradition even in Klal Yisrael today. Our daf continues with the next Mishnah. Ha'oimer Al-Kein Sipar Yagiyu Rachamecha Ba'al Toiv Yizacher Shemecha. If a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you're such a rachamim that you even have mercy on the bird when you give us the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, or Moedim Moedim, if he says Moedim twice, Mishaskinoso, then you silence him. The Gemara immediately will tell us the reason for both of these. Bishlema Moedim Moedim Mishaskinoso, if he says Moedim twice, you have to silence him. Mishum de mechsi kishtei rishuyos, because it appears as if he's thanking two gods. Val tov yizachar shemecha nami. And also the part in the Mishnah that we glossed over a little, and the for good your name should be mentioned. Also, you don't do that because you don't accept that tefila, because mashma latov v'lo ala ra. Sounds like he's saying that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu only for the good and not for the bad. Utznan. And we learn we're going to have this later on in a Mishnah on Nun Dalit. Chayim Adam Levarech Ala Ra Kishem Shevarech Ala Tov. A person needs to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the good, just like you thank him on the bad. So both of those we understand. The problem, Al Kein Tzipa Yigi Rachamecha, is that you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what? There's nothing wrong with Al Kein Tzipa Yigi Rachamecha. It's not being thanking him only for the Tov And for the Ra, that we understand about Tovi Zachem B'Shemecha. Or Maidim, Maidim sounds like you're speaking about two gods. But what's wrong? Akan Sipar Yegi Rachamecha. The Mark continues, my time up, Pligi Batrei Ramarai. The second wide line, there are two opinions in the Amarai. B'Marava, in the West, Rabbi Yossi Bar Abin, in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida, Chadam Ebnei Shematel Kina B'Maisa Bereshit. You place jealousy within the creation. According to Marashah, the pshad is that the rest of the animal kingdom will be jealous. Why specifically do you need to put Rachmanus on the Kan Tzipor? See the Meiri for a different pshat. And the more famous pshat, which the Gemara runs with, is because it turns HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvot into logical mitzvahs, where one is supposed to look at the logic and the mercy in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, ve'einon ela gzeira, says the Gemara, and they're only gzeiros. According to the Meiri, the pshat is not that there's no logic to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. Of course, this is a grave and deep philosophical discussion, and it's simply bittul to the Ratzon Hashem, as one can read the Gemara. But rather, what the Gemara is saying is it's not about providing mercy for the birds, but it's a gzeira, and here the Meiri radically changes the simple reading of the Gemara, and that is, it is a gzeira muteles ala adam lahaknoso mida tova. It's put on a person to create inside of him the appropriate midos. The Meiri, of course, points out that that's a very sensitive balance because shechita is permissible when it comes to the animal. So when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to teach him in what way, of course, is a mystery. But according to Meiri, you don't take the Gemara literally that the mitzvot are simply gzeros without any understanding. Lo nitna Torah, the Medrash says, el tarifes habrios. Either way you read the Gemara, which is beyond our scope, there are two opinions. One is to not create jealousy with the Maisa Bereshis, and the other is that the reason why you can't say Al Ken Sipar Yagiu Rachamecha is because it's not based on Rachmanus, it's a gzera. The Gemara follows up with a story, four lines in. Ahud Nachas Kamedu Rabba Va'oma Ata Chasa Al Ken Sipar. Someone davened in front of Rabba and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you had such Rachmanus on a bird, Ata chus v'rachem oleinu, have mercy on us. Amar Rabba, kama yada haitzur rabbanon l'tzuriye v'mari. Look how beautiful Rabba explained that he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar le Abaye, Abaye responded, v'mishaskin oso tznan. Our Mishnah says it's a bad thing, we silence him. Says the Gemara, and even Rabba knew that from our Mishnah. V'rabba nam l'chadudi l'abaye hu deboi. He was testing Abaye to see if he would realize the flaw in that person's tefillah. The Gemara gives another example of a tefillah that seemed to be beautiful and nice, but is actually problematic. Ahud Nachas Kamed Rabbi Chanina, someone went in front of Rabbi Chanina, Omar Hakel Agod Al Giva V'Anoira, here come the additions, V'Adir, strong, V'Ozuz, and mighty, V'Yira, and Sism, Hachozak V'Omuz, different types of strength, V'Avada, ensure, V'Nichbad, and honored, Himtin lo ad the siyem, and Rabbi Chanina wait for him to finish. Amalei siyem tinu lekule shvachay demarcha. Did you finish with all the praise of your master? Lamali kule hay. Why did you need all of these? Anan hechi plasta minon. And what about the three that we mentioned? Ilah damrinu Moshe Rabbeinu barayse. If Moshe Rabbeinu had not said it, we would not have said it. And you went and said all these things. If a king has thousands and thousands of pieces of gold and he flays his silver, then it is a bizayon to him, so too says Rabbi Chanina, to add praises that weren't said in great prophecy, like that my Moshe Rabbeinu and Anshei Knesset Hagdola, then they better not to say them at all. Be'ezer Hashem, we conclude the daf, and now we go into the halacha topics. The first halachic topic from daf Lamed Gimel emerges from a basic pshat issue in the Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph and has far-flung implications for the issues of Pikuach Nefesh. Where do we draw the line on Pikuach Nefesh? As the later Poskim point out, the Shalos HaTshuvas Binyan Sion Simin Kuf Lamed Zayin, we allow people to pass through a desert, or for that matter, fly in airplanes, and we don't say it's prohibited because of the pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan, "V'nishmartem lo nafshoseichem." Where do we draw the line? That's our topic for today. That emerges in Pshat in the Gemara Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah had told us that when we have a snake that is wrapped around the person's heel, in such a case, he should not interrupt the Shemona Esrei. The Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph explains that that's only talking about a nachash. A nachash is not likely, Rashi explains, to bite a person, and therefore the person's life is not likely to be in danger. However, an akrav, a scorpion, in such a case should interrupt his Shmona Esrei based on the rule of Shmartim es Nafsho Seichem, only the big three, either Arai, Shvicha, Estamim, and Ritzicha, a person gives us up, is supposed to give up his life, and not violate. Everything else is Yavor Va'al Yehorek. Asks the Rashash a very basic question. The Rashash in our sugya asks, but wait a second. Is there a possibility, a remote possibility, that a snake will bite and the person's life will be in danger? The answer, says the Rashash, seems to be yes. If that's so, then the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Tes Vav Amabez seems to contradict our Gemara. Everybody knows, every elementary school child knows, that when it comes to pikuach nefesh, ein holchem bipikuach nefesh achar rov. We don't follow the rules of rov. For example, on Shabbos, if someone is in a serious condition and there is a possibility that their life is in danger, we don't begin to weigh whether it's a 51% likelihood that their life is in danger or a 30% likelihood of their life is in danger. There is a mitzvah to be mechalel Shabbos. If that's so, ask Rashash, there is a small possibility here, as you will see later on from the Gemara, that the Gemara says that a nachash can have a toxic bite. The Gemara says if you land on top of a nachash, not that the nachash crawled upon you, then its bite is toxic and can kill. So even though it's not likely for it to kill, nevertheless, the person's life is in danger, and we don't follow the rules of majority. So you don't follow the rules of majority, asks the Rashash a bomb question. Why is it that over here we don't say that for the remote possibility that the Nachash will bite, he should interrupt his Shemona Esrei to shake it off? In a very important tshuva in the Binyan Sion and Simin Kuf Lamed Zayin that I mentioned earlier, Binyan Sion was Rabbi Yaakov Erlinger, the Baal Mechaber of the Sefer Aruch Lener, the Rebbe of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch and Rav Israel Hildesheimer. He develops the following approach to Pikuach Nefesh, which we later see expressed similarly by both the Chasam Sofer and the Noda Bihuda, and qualified later on by the Chazon Ish, and maybe we could come away with a clear Hagdara of when do we consider something Pikuach Nefesh and when don't we. The Binyan Tzion writes that there are types of risks of pikuach nefesh. The Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Tes Vav Amabez describes a building collapse. We don't know for sure that there is a Jew under that building. It's not necessarily even likely right now, but a building has collapsed, and whoever is in there's life is in danger. That's what we call in Halacha Safek Lifaneinu. If the Savik is in front of us, then we don't cheshbon, is there a 50% likelihood that a Jew is under the building or not, where Mechal Shabbos, as the Gemara in Ksubis on Tes Vav Amud Beis says. However, there are times that there is a statistical possibility that an event can lead to a pikuach nefesh scenario, but in the present, it is not a pikuach nefesh scenario. The example of that claims the Binyan Tzion, one example of that, he has others, is our Gemara. there is no snake bite that has taken place. If there was a snake bite, and we're not sure whether the snake bite's danger is life-threatening or not, on Shabbos we will be mechalel Shabbos, whether it's a 40% chance that it's life-threatening, or it's a 60%, or even a 10% chance. Because then the suffix is lefanenu. But if there's no suffix, there's no bite that's been initiated, and this nachash is not one that's likely to bite unless it has been provoked, so then in such a case, there isn't even a suffix lefanenu, and then we could rely on the 10% chance, or the 90% likelihood that it's not going to happen, and then we do follow the rov. Says the Binyan Tzion, I will prove it to you. He says, if that's not so, Eich mutar lechatchil liknos a sakana v'laval nishnartim ma'od nishnafshot seichem. Eich mutar lo lared l'yam v'lotzeis l'midbar shehim dvarim shetzvichin l'hodos al shenitzolu. We have to thank that we survive. How could a person ever fly a airplane? The answer is that the statistical possibility is too small if the suffix is not lefanenu. If, however, the suffix is lefanenu, if you have an airplane that has something that's wrong with it, so then in such a case, that's a different story. V'amevin yovin, the Gemara in Yevamos also evokes the rule, shomer psoyim Hashem, we don't have to worry about all statistical possibilities. This is the way I heard from Ramosha Tendler Shlita in the name of Ramosha Feinstein Zatzah. As well. The Binyan Tzion's Yesod is used in a, he also talks about Halach Lamaisa case, which a little bit beyond our scope for today, is all expressed by both the Noda Behuda and the Chasam Sofer in the following case that's quoted in the Pisrei Tshuva in Simin Shin Samach Gimel Sivkatan Hay of Yoredeya. And that is the fascinating question of autopsies done on dead people, which is a prohibition of nivol hames. A big discussion in the Rishonim Achronim about a Gentile, but a Jew is clearly an Isser D'Oraisa of nivol hames. Four, what is the purpose? Many times, it's to do experimentation and study to be able to solve medical maladies, many of which are pikuach nefesh. Is one allowed to violate the Isser of nivol hames in order to procure medical information which can be used in case of pikuach nefesh? Do we call this a heter of pikuach nefesh? Both the Noda Behuda and the Chasam Sofer differentiate between whether there is a chola lefaneinu or not. If there is a particular chola, there is a person that has this disease, and there was Reuven already died from the disease. Shimon has it, and looking at the process of Reuven's disease will help save Shimon's life, or has the possibility. Then we say Ya'avor Val Yehoreg, the prohibition Lo Solin Nivloso does not apply, and we do the experimentation. However, the Noda Behuda Chasam Sofer argue, if it's not to save a particular person, we're going to see the Chazon Ish will qualify what that means in a moment. If it's not going to save a particular person, but it's to procure information that might be used to save someone, there they draw the line and they say that we don't take the statistical possibility into account, only if the chol is lefanenu, very similar to the idea that we saw from the Binyan Tzion. The Chazon Ish in Ahalos, in the Halachos of Nivol HaMeis, in Simin Chav Beis Os Lamed Beis, qualifies the Noda Behuda and the Chasam Sofer's Psak. It's not clear whether Chazon Ish is disagreeing with the Chasam Sofer and Noda Behuda, or he's being magdi, or he's qualifying what they're saying, but what merges bottom line in the Chazon Ish is the following. He says, the important distinction isn't whether we know that Shimon exists or not. In other words, Reuven being the corpse and knowing that there's Shimon who's suffering from the same disease. But rather, says the Chazon Ish, what's most important is there a likelihood that this information will save a person's life? If there is a significant possibility, Matsui hadover de bizman shemasrin ala mishum choli. Even if the chol is not in front of us, then in such a case it would be permissible. However, if it's a statistical possibility, but it's not something that is an issue that's standing in front of us, maybe we could present a Chazon Ish. And again, I say this maybe. Of course, all of these halachos are not meant to paskin shailas, the halacha from the daf, but at the same time, we don't shrink from the possibility of understanding every bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Maybe we could describe the Chazon Ish's idea in the following way. If a doctor is studying cancer, and there isn't a particular cancer that he's addressing that we know that people have, but is just trying to understand how the medicine works, etc., etc., but he doesn't see how that will necessarily, per se, help a particular group of people that suffer and are in a case of pikuach nefesh, then in such a case, we might not say that we follow the minority. However, if it's a case in which we know that by doing Nivel Hameis, he will provide information that can possibly save someone's life, so then in such a case, then we don't follow the rove, even if it's not likely that he'll be able to, but if there's a possibility, then we would say, Ein Holchem B'Kuach Nefesh Achar Rov. This distinction was the Binyan Sion's distinction in our Gemara between a snake and a scorpion. Again, this is the background to these important shilos with the Mar Mekomos, and Be'ezah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should light up our eyes to be able to understand more and more of His beautiful Torah. This is not, of course, meant to take in Halacha L'maisa. The second topic for Halacha today is the topic of Havdalah and some Halachos that are not well known that revolve around the conclusion of our Gemara on Lamed Gimel on the base. The Gemara struggles with the nature of the chiyuv of Havdalah on Lamed Gimel on the Aleph. Is it done only in Shemone Esrei? Is it done only Alakos? And the Gemara's conclusion on top of Lamed Gimel on the base is that Kiddush is done both Alakos and in Tefillah, and so too Havdalah is first done in Tefillah and then Al Hakos. What I would like to discuss, Be'ezer Hashem, are a couple of halachos that are not well known about what is supposed to be done before one makes Havdalah b'tefillah and before Havdalah b'kos. To present it as a shaila, is one allowed to do malacha after one has said Havdalah in tefillah? On the one hand, one was mavdil. On the other hand, our Gemara says there still is a mitzvah to be mavdil b'kos. Our Gemara put the two together. Put Havdalah b'tefillah together with Havdalah b'kos. Then not only are you supposed to do Havdalah b'tefillah, so too you are supposed to do Havdalah b'kos. We are going to delineate two distinctions. The second one, which becomes a little bit more complicated as we're ma'ayin more, between Havdalah b'tefillah and Havdalah b'kos. Firstly, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Vav in Simin Reish Sadi Tes, which is the halachos of Havdalah, there the Mishnah Berurah points out that even though one has made Havdalah in Tefillah, nevertheless, the Isser of Te'ima that the Gemara delineates in Meseches Pesachim on Daf Kuf Hei is not removed until you make Havdalah B'Kos. So in that regard, Havdalah B'Kos says that Shabbos is not over until you have not only made Havdalah in Shemona Esrei, but also made Havdalah B'Kos. However, when it comes to Malacha, this is what we called point number two, the Halacha is a little bit different. First, we will discuss the positions in the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch, and then we will see Halacha L'maisa, how the Mishnah Berurah seems to encourage a person to be Noheg. The Mechaber writes the following. The topic here is, when is one allowed to do malacha on Matzoi Shabbos? Says the Mechaber in Sif Yud, Asa lasas shu malacha kod mishi yavdil. It's prohibited to do malacha before Avdala. V'im hivdil bat tefila mutar afal pishlo adayin lo hivdil alakos. According to the Mechaber, the halacha is quite clear. one is allowed to do malacha immediately after Havdalah. And that Havdalah is not Havdalah because, unlike the halacha of eating, which says that it's prohibited to eat until one has made Havdalah because, when it comes to malacha, if one did Havdalah and Tefillah, one is allowed to do malacha. Not only that, continues the Mechaber. Vim tzarech lasas malacha kodem shivda v'tfila, omer hamavdil bein kodesh v'en achol, below bracha v'osa malacha. This is how many women to this day follow, and that is when Shabbos is over, or whatever zman a person follows, once one says hamavdil bein kodesh l'chol, so then in such a case one is allowed to do malacha. That is exactly the Rambam comment. V'chein noshim she'inon mavdilin b'tfila, women who don't say havdalah tfila, explains the Be'er Heitev that since Ma'ariv is a Rishus, we learned earlier in Brachos, women never accepted Ma'ariv, therefore they don't say Havdalah in Tefillah. Yesh lamdan shiomer amavdum en kozhechol kolim shiasu malacha, as is the custom by many. However, the Ramah introduces an interesting position of the V'yesh Omrim. Here is a leniency. V'yesh Omrim, the kol zeb malacha gemura. The Rabbeinu Yerucham is of the opinion that the prohibition to do malacha before you say Amazdel Mekodesh Lechol is only in full-fledged malacha kigon kosev orig, weaving and writing. However, if it's a malacha that takes one moment to do, simply lighting a candle or hotza, which doesn't require a lot of exertion, so then, in such a case, one could be meiko. Ramah says, and for that reason, many people light candles already after Baruch Hu, even though they haven't said Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, aval ikar kisvar rishona. However, says Ramah, we should not do malacha until we say Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol. Therefore, this leniency is rejected. However, in a fascinating turn of events, the Mishnah Brura takes the Svara of Rabbeinu Yerucham and turns it into a fascinating stringency, lahalacha, which it seems that he believes has much basis, and Rav Nevensal gives a beautiful hezber and seems to encourage this approach as well. That is the Mishnah Berurah in Sharet Zion, Sif Katan Nun Aleph, suggests that we paskin, of course, that you must say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol before you do malach. But what happens if you said Havdalah b'tfila, you said Baruch Hamadun and Kodesh Shachol? Are you allowed to do all malachos? Or are you only allowed to do malachos like lighting a candle and carrying, which are one-time malachos that are not malachos that are fully involved? Or one could do all malacha? Says the Sharetzin in Sif Katan Nun Aleph that he believes the true position of Rabbeinu Yerucham was, of course, you couldn't do any malacha before you say Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. However, malacha that is a one-shot deal, you put something in your pocket, you carry it, or you strike a match, that could be done after Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. But to sit and write a letter, or to sit and weave what the Ramah called malacha gemura, would be prohibited until after making Havdalah on a kais. Says Rav Nevensal, in Sif Katan Lamid Tes, on the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Lamid Tes, a beautiful hezber for the Sharetzion. V'nir lechora, d'masha asur b'malacha gemura afal pi shivdo l'tfila, u'mipnei she'asur lasos ha'kodem mitzvas havdala. Rav Nevensal suggests that there is a prohibition to get involved with an elongated malacha before havdala, like there is for many tfilos and many mitzvot, that you need to do the mitzvah beforehand, lest you get distracted and forget doing Havdalah. Umasha also afil m'malacha kala, and the prohibition to do chotza'a, carrying, or lighting a candle, humi din tosefes Shabbos, that's because it's still Shabbos. Ulechein Havdalah v'tfilah sagin, therefore, Havdalah in tfilah is enough. Hence, it would seem to emerge that lechatchila, one should be machmir on Shabbos not to do a malacha that is extensive before making Havdalah b'kos. I will just give a reference to the svara behind Rav Nevensal's psak. If one takes a look in the Brisker Rav, in his Sefer al HaRambam in Perek Choftes in Hilchos Shabbos, one will see this Svara developed very elaborately and beautifully by the Brisker Rav. Of course, the Brisker Rav, Kedarko B'Kodesh, is not talking mostly within Shitos Halacha L'Maisa. However, you will see that Rav Nevenzal's Hesber that he's giving, L'Aniyaz Daitya, I have now been as manim, I miss him, I haven't had the opportunity to discuss a few things with him, but that this Psak is probably based on the Svaras of the Brisker Rav, where the Brisker Rav discusses the Isser of Malacha, whether that's a function of the Zman of Tosefes Shabbos, or is so that one should not get distracted for Havdalah. And what emerges, bottom line, Halacha L'maisa, is the following. According to the Mechaber, all you do is you say Baruch HaMavdol Mekodesh Echol, and then you are fine, you're allowed to do all types of Malachas. This is essentially a position of the Ramah. The Ramah brings down a cool leniency that suggests that maybe you could do even malacha before Amavdol Mekodesh Echol, as long as it is a short malacha. The Sharet Zion suggests that we paskin lechumra, that one has to wait to say Baruch Amavdol Mekodesh Echol, and if one has not yet made Avdolah Nekos, then one is not supposed to do an elongated malacha. The only malachas that could be done are malachas like turning on a candle, presumably as well turning on a car. Those types of things are going to be permissible. However, an extensive malacha like weaving and writing in such a case would be problematic. And the reason for that, said Rav Nevenzal, is not because of Shabbos. Shabbos is already over. That you took care of by saying Hamavdol ben Kodesh Lechol. However, the fear that you're going to forget to say Avdolah Lakos prohibits an elongated malacha, and this svara of Rav Nevenzal can be found in the Brisker Rav's Chidushim on the Rambam.